What a difference a few weeks makes. These past Sundays, over the course of the past few weeks, we have seen the disciples of Jesus struggle to understand his resurrection. That first Easter morning, they fail to understand that he has been raised from the dead. They're unclear what has happened. That afternoon of the first Easter day, the two walk on the road going to Emmaus, and they are full of grief, and they discuss the terrible things that were done to Jesus, things that they witnessed. And then that first Easter night, they are gathered behind locked doors. They are afraid, worried that they will be killed just as Jesus was killed. Though in all these stories, the risen Jesus comes among his followers, shows the wounds of his passion, talks with his disciples, bestowing his peace on them, giving them the Holy Spirit, they still don't know what to make of Jesus risen from the dead. Jesus continues to appear to his followers 40 days after his resurrection. And during those days, Jesus instructs and he teaches them. After he leaves them, the Holy Spirit comes among his followers on the first day of Pentecost. And they are changed forever. By the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they leave behind their fear, their doubts, any confusion. Filled with the Spirit, they literally journey to the ends of the earth, proclaiming Jesus crucified and risen from the dead. They do the works of Jesus. They care for those who are in need. They heal the sick. And they even raise the dead. These first followers of Jesus are hardly recognizable as the same people in those stories of the first Easter day. What a difference a few weeks makes. We see evidence of their transformation. We see how much they have changed in our lesson today from the Acts of the Apostles. This New Testament book is really a continuation of Luke's gospel, and it tells what happens to the first followers of Jesus after his ascension and the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Today's passage tells us those who have been baptized devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. They are conformed to the teaching of Jesus as handed down by Peter and the other apostles. Their lives are conformed to the teaching of Jesus, and they become his witnesses, living as Jesus did in his earthly life and ministry. These first followers are faithful in celebrating the Eucharist, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. Like Jesus, they own nothing, and instead they sell all their possessions and their goods, and they pool their resources. The funds that are raised by selling their property are held in common by the community, and as any has need, they are cared for from those funds. These first followers of Jesus, Acts tells us, ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. They are thankful for what they have been given by God, and in gratitude they respond. They praise God with thankful hearts, and they show goodwill toward all people. They care for those in need. After the resurrection of Jesus and the descent of the Holy Spirit, the coming upon his followers with that power of the Spirit, those people are dramatically changed and transformed. They leave behind the ways of the world. They give up possessions. They live in community with other Christians. They reject the ways of greed and violence by which the world is governed. They give up despair. And instead, they offer good news of profound hope and deep joy that they found in the resurrection of Jesus. As I was preparing this sermon, I came across a collection of articles that I had saved. I will save quotes in articles I've come across, thinking they might be useful someday in a sermon, but periodically I have to go through and sort and organize everything that I have saved. So recently, while I was doing that, I came across a stack of articles, and today it just happened to be as part of the preparation for this sermon. It's an article that I saved back in 2015, and it's called Why We Need Resurrection. It was posted on the Patheos website. Its author is Ellen Painter Dollar, and she comments on the power of Jesus' resurrection to transform his followers. In this article, she writes, and I quote, "Something clearly happened that transformed a bunch of bumbling, dejected disciples into people of steady conviction, willing to travel the world preaching good news and die for it if necessary. I don't need to know exactly what happened or understand exactly how it happened to allow myself to be transformed by the resurrection. We don't have to understand exactly how something works for it to have power and meaning," unquote. She goes on then to compare this reality of the disciples transformed to the way that other things in her life also change her. And she says, I quote again, "I don't understand how my dog's goofy presence makes me feel better after a lousy day, why I consider a particular piece of music beautiful, or how my gut feelings usually steer me in the right direction when it comes to big decisions. But all of those experiences are very real. I don't have to understand how the human canine bond, music, or intuition work to know that these phenomena have real power to transform," unquote. Dollar observes that while we can't explain exactly how, nonetheless, the power of Jesus' resurrection changes us. We follow the one whom death could not hold, whom the grave was unable to contain, to keep and in the grave his love. Through the forces of sin and hatred and evil, though they tried their best, killing the Lord of love by hanging him on a tree, yet the power of God's love was no match. Jesus is raised on the third day, overcoming death and the grave. And in the process, we are set free from sin and hatred and despair and fear. Today, we remember that Jesus is the good shepherd of the people. In our Psalm 23 that we said today, we're reminded that the shepherd leads us into green pastures and still waters, reviving our weary soul. Though we come face to face with death itself, walking through the very shadow of the valley of death, we have nothing to fear. The good shepherd is with us, leading us and guiding us, taking us to that table that he has spread for us, to that table that has the cup that is running over. He is the shepherd who is our guardian, who is the protector of our souls. In our gospel today, John reminds us that Jesus is the good shepherd of the sheep, and he calls each by name. The sheep know his voice, and they follow him. Jesus protects the sheep from all danger and harm, and even gives his life for the sheep, something a hireling would never do. The gospel also tells us that Jesus is also the gate. He is the sheep gate. Now, a sheep gate was an opening in the sheep fold, and a fold was often an enclosure of stone where the sheep were brought at night to keep them safe. Jesus is the gate of this sheepfold. Jesus prevents danger from entering, keeping the sheep inside safe. The gate prevents the sheep from wandering away during the night. Jesus, the shepherd, leads his sheep to the fold where he keeps them safe. Those who follow Jesus the shepherd will come to find pasture of safety and abundance. Now, this is not to say that because we follow Jesus the shepherd of our souls, no danger will ever befall us. There will indeed be challenging times and difficulties. There will, for all of us at the last, like for all creatures, be death itself. But the promise is, in following Jesus, the Good Shepherd, whatever we experience, Jesus is with us. Like that faithful shepherd, Jesus calls us by name and leads us through all our trials. Jesus comes that we may have life and have it abundantly. And he promises to faithfully lead us into the fullness of abundant life. This, I think, is the key to understanding, as much as we are able, the power of the resurrection to transform and change us. In the resurrection of Jesus, all the powers and forces of this world are destroyed once and for all. Their power is forever dismantled. Following Jesus, we are set free from the evil forces of this world. We are set free to be rooted in the divine life of God. We are set free to live by gratitude and generosity, understanding that our possessions ultimately cannot save us. We are set free to live by love, loving as Jesus loves, caring for the least and the forgotten. We are set free from the individualism of our age, with its reliance on self, its focus on meeting individual needs, and instead are called to build a community of mutuality, of just love, of compassion. However it may happen, and however little we actually understand it, the reality is the risen Jesus frees us from the power and the hold of this world. And that allows us to live by the ways of God's reign. The quest for every age, then, is to discern how God calls it to live in the present moment. Each generation of Christians is charged with living by resurrection life, listening to God, following where Jesus, our shepherd, leads. This may be perhaps even more true in this time of pandemic and of physical separation. It is a time in which we have to ask God how we are to live in this moment. How is God made known to us? And how is God leading us to be transformed and changed? Though this is a challenging and frightening time in which we live, it is also, I think, a time of great opportunity. It is a time for us to look for the blessings, the moments of grace, because they continue to happen. They continue to happen even while we are separated, while we remain at home. This is a time to open ourselves to the presence of the risen Jesus, looking for him to come into our midst, to be receptive to those times when we experience, we may not know how, but we experience that the risen Jesus is near. And it is a time to open ourselves to the Holy Spirit so that we continue to be the church, the very body of the risen Jesus, even now. This is a time to open our hearts and to open our lives to the daily visitation of the Spirit, to claim the gifts that the Spirit gives us, to do the work of ministry we are given to do even now. This is the time to trust the power of Jesus' resurrection to defeat all the forces of this world. God's love will remain steadfast. Jesus, our good shepherd, will continue to walk beside us. Jesus, the shepherd, will continue to call us each by name and to lead us into pastures of abundant life, lead us into the sheepfold of eternal life. And so may we listen, moment by moment, for the call of our Good Shepherd, that we always recognize his voice and follow him wherever he leads us. Amen.